Again, just thank you. It's a real privilege to be able to stand before you, and I never want to take these times for granted in any form or any way. So what I would like to do, rather than go down one subject, which my wife did and did a great job, I just want to touch on a few in this sense. When Jesus walked on the earth, he learned to recognize what his Father was doing. That's how he ministered. He learned to recognize what his Father, because he said, my Father is always at work. John chapter 6, I think it is. My Father is always at work, and so too am I. So he learned to recognize, Father, what are you doing? And flow with that, if you understand what I'm saying. And if we can learn to recognize what God is doing, first of all, in our own life, we need to be aware of that. Not that we're always aware, but to some degree, learn to recognize what he's doing maybe in our church or in our family and what he's doing in the community and begin to flow with that. It does something more, if you understand what I'm saying. There's a supernatural element to it. We open ourselves up to the supernatural. That's what I'm trying to say. And so the first thing I just want to share is simply this. For that to happen, we desperately need ongoing revelation. Desperately need it. That's what Paul, for me, the greatest prayer you can pray is Ephesians 1, where Paul says, I keep asking your Heavenly Father to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know Him better. The more we know Christ, the more we'll walk in what He wants us to walk in, if you understand what I'm saying. That you might know Him better, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, and I'll briefly explain what that means, that you might know the hope to which He has called you and the glorious inheritance you have in the saints and the incomparable power that is within you, that same power exerted when He raised Christ from the dead. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But that comes by revelation. It doesn't come by education. There's nothing wrong with education or information. It comes by revelation of the heart, because revelation changes you and I. And that word, when it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that word enlightened, the Greek word, the root of it is where we get our English word photo from. That's where it is. So you take a photo, and Welcome graciously took us around this wonderful city of yours yesterday, and my wife was busy with a camera. And she's very good at that, better than I am, you understand? So when you click the camera, the shutter opens, and the light floods in onto the negative, the shutter closes, but whatever the light brings in, it impregnates that image onto the negative. Well, now onto the digital card, if you understand what I'm saying. It impregnates it. And Paul is saying, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, the shutter would open, and the image of who Christ is be impregnated in your heart. Now that's an ongoing thing, if you understand what I'm saying. That changes you and I. That positions you and I. So the key is understanding the cross and what the cross has done for us. And walking in the power of the understanding of the cross. Because if we begin to understand the revelation of the cross, it's very key. Because the cross positions us to receive His fullness. And we need to understand exactly what happened in the cross. And very briefly, just very, very, very briefly, I don't want to go through it a lot, so I'm just going to grab a chair. I don't want to pull it. Let me grab this chair so I can put this over here. My wife says I've got notes all over my pieces of paper. Yeah, thank you, Lynn. Okay. Very briefly, the Bible says that before we knew Christ, we were not wise, we were not influential, we were not of noble birth, we were weak. I can give you the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 1. Romans 5 says we were powerless, we were ungodly. Ephesians 2 says we were dead in our transgressions. We were under the dominion of darkness. The Bible says we were separated and excluded from God. The Bible says we were slaves to sin. The Bible says we were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our heart. The Bible says we were without peace. The Bible says we had no inheritance. The Bible says we had an empty way of life, or a futile or meaningless way of life. We were living, but there was no meaning to it, if you understand what I'm saying. The Bible says we were outside the kingdom of God. We were in darkness. We were, in a sense, condemned. We were dead. Yes or no? Yes. Yeah. Jesus never came to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. That's what it'll never be about rules or laws. Amen. You with me? But then Christ came, and in the cross and in the power of the cross and in us putting our faith, and what I mean by the cross, I mean His life, His death, His resurrection, and His ascension. That's what I mean by the cross, the whole lot. And when we put our faith in that, we become alive. We positioned. We become sons of God. Now that's very key. Why is it very key? Because the Bible says we're called to salvation, we're called to sonship, we're called to service, and we're called to sacrifice. But if we do the service and the sacrifice, as Michelle said, without understanding our sonship, this becomes laws and legalism, and life flows out of us. The important thing is you know that we are sons of God. Sons of God, not by our own doing, but by because of what the cross has done. And because of who Jesus is. He's made us children of God. So turn with me quickly, if you can, in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4, please. Galatians chapter 4. See, this positions us. Galatians chapter 4 says this, verse 4, I think it is. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full, I've underlined in my Bible, the full rights of sons. Yeah. We're able to receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, or daughters, for the ladies, okay, but meaning the same thing. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit that calls out, Abba Father. And that word calls out is not just Abba Father. It's a deep, deep expression from deep within your being. Oh, Father God, I belong to You. And so you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir. So what does it mean to be a son of God? Simply this. When we become sons of God, you have the right to come and eat at your Father's table 24/7. Good. We're staying at Lynn and Malcolm's house. And Lynn graciously put the stuff out on the table for breakfast this morning. The daughters... sons, the daughters of the household, didn't come and say, can I have some? They just came. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Because they know, because they're part of that household, they have a right to come and eat of that table. And you have a right to eat from your Father's table 24/7. Not because you earned it, but because He's giving it to you. In other words, you have free access to your Heavenly Father 24/7. It's not just about salvation, it's about sonship. Because sonship gives you identity. You not only have the right to eat at His table, you get your inheritance back. You get your inheritance back. You don't only get your inheritance back, but you have the privilege of His care. Man will determine, make his plans, but the Lord will determine his steps. The Father determines our steps. Not only that, you have the privilege of His discipline, because God disciplines those He loves. Never pleasant, but it's good for us. But the one that really you have a privilege of is you have the privilege of His voice. That is, for me, the key one of the key ingredients in beginning to recognize what God is doing. You have the privilege of His voice. You have the privilege of hearing the Father's voice. And when the Father speaks, it carries something. We can never put the voice of God with every other voice in our life. The voice of God needs to be the highest priority in our life. David said in Psalm 28, if I do not hear Your voice, it'll be like I've gone down to the grave. Verse 2, I think it is. That's why Jesus, if we understand that Jesus, what he did and his ministry flowed out of hearing the voice of his Father and the anointing that was on his life. He didn't do the supernatural because he was Jesus Christ. He did the supernatural because he was anointed by on high from his Father. That's why he said, I tell you the truth in John 14:12. What I have been doing, you will do, and even greater things. How can we do what Jesus did if he had something that we cannot have? Or he was given something that we don't give him. You with me? It's key to understand that. So you can come with confidence, not arrogance, humility and confidence, knowing God, I'm positioned to be supernatural. I'm positioned to hear from you. I'm positioned to hear your voice. I'm positioned to be open for you to use to allow your glory to come here on earth. That's what Jesus said. The words I speak, John 6:63, they're spirit and life. They're spirit and they're life. They carry life. They contain life. And it gives impetus. Amen. Very key, folk. I cannot, if I had time, I'd preach on this. Just the understanding of sonship. For me, it's the number one ingredient in church. Understanding of sonship. And settle it. I'm a son. Let me put it this way. Jenny. Let me ask the two parents. Was she always the... let me rephrase the question. All right. She's always been your daughter. Mm-hmm. Yes or no? Yes. At times when she maybe was a little disobedient, there were never times like that where Jenny had. There were a few. Okay. Was she your daughter?
Yes.
It never changed.
That's right.
Okay. When she was a little disobedient, what changed between the two of you? The intimate fellowship. So the relationship was always there, but not maybe their deep intimacy. And I can see in their family there's deep intimacy because they're always hugging and it's wonderful to see. It is. It's wonderful to see. They're very huggy. Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. Okay. So now, when you're born again, you become a child of God. But when we're not where he wants us to be, and I'm not, in a sense, obedient to his voice, I'm still a child of God, but I'm missing his intimacy. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is key. There's a difference between relationship and fellowship. I have a relationship with my wife. Husband, wife, no matter what happened, okay? For 7 years or whatever the case is. Isn't she lucky? Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. But there have been occasions in our marriage where we've disagreed on things, okay? It's okay, Lynn. Okay. It's okay. We've disagreed. And on those occasions, she has lay on that end of the bed and I've lay on that end of the bed. And we are not touching. If you understand. When your feet touch, you pull them away. Don't touch me or whatever. Are you with me? Okay. But I'm still a husband. She's still my wife. It's still a relationship. But what's broken is the fellowship. And so we're going to flow with God. We have to make sure our fellowship is continually updated. Keep short accounts with God. That you're in fellowship with him daily. You with me? It's very key because it opens up to hearing his voice. And the voice of God is key. For me, it's one of the most important things. When I first got saved, I understood as I read the Bible. I didn't grow up in a church. We never went to church. You've heard part of Michelle. Never. The only time I went to church was to get married because I had to. I wasn't interested, so we never grew up in a family that spoke about God. We never spoke about anything. We never spoke about Christianity. We were a poor family. There were no God consciousness in our family. That's what I grew up in. So when I got saved, I don't think I'd ever opened a Bible in my life. But I met Jesus. You with me? I then fell in love with the Word, so I had to go buy a Bible. I had to ask what to buy. I bought a Bible. And as I was reading the Bible, I started with the Gospels. And the thing that astounded me about the Gospels is what Jesus did. That's what astounded me. I couldn't believe what this man Jesus Christ has done, or the Son of God had done. But I begin to see that the key for the life of Jesus was he heard the voice of his Father. It was a vital key. So I prayed. I prayed every time for 2 years. I asked Michelle, I prayed, God, I want to hear your voice. 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 If we were in church, we had home groups, and we broke up into little groups, what can I pray for you? I just want to hear his voice at home. What can I pray? I just want to hear his voice. God was speaking to me, but I hadn't recognized it. And one day, we had 2 years just gone into youth ministry, full-time youth ministry. It was a Monday. That was our day off. Her and I were having breakfast. We were in this little coffee shop. And as we were having breakfast, I looked to my right, and there was an elderly lady sitting. And as I looked at her, my heart started to beat fast. And my tongue got all dry. And I just had this impression, go tell her that I love her. Simple, simple thing. Go tell her that I love her. So I'm saying, God, is that you? Isn't that you? Is that you? Isn't that you? So Michelle says, I'm going to the pet shop. So she got up and went to the pet shop. So I stand up to go pay, and the table's there, and I look at her, and as I look at her, my heart is beating fast, and I'm saying, God, is that you? And isn't that you? Isn't that you? But I walk out, and as I walk out, I'm saying to myself, I'll never know if that's God unless I go and do it. So I come back, and I kneel down. And she was a lady, an elderly lady. And I said, do you speak English or Afrikaans? And she said, Afrikaans. I said, oh, no. But anyway, she said, no, speak English. So I said to her, I was having breakfast with my wife. And when I looked at you, this is what I said to her. I said, I believe Jesus told me to come and say to you that he loves you. The reaction I got was not what I expected. She grabbed my arm. She started to shake. And she burst into tears. And she said, it's a miracle, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. I said, and now my faith was like this. Now my faith was very high. And she said, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. And she said, you know that I've been married for over 50 years and my husband died 2 weeks ago. And I've been struggling, but I've known Jesus since 6. And it was like God coming to comfort her. That's what the voice of God does. That's what I'm trying. That's a supernatural event. And we have access to his voice. And when we hear his voice and we flow in obedience to it, sometimes it's not even to do something. It's just we open ourselves up to the supernatural happening through us. That's what I'm trying to say. Because that's the way Jesus operated. You with me? And even as I say that, God is ministering to this lady here. And I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what your background is. I don't know where you've been through. But I see God wants to touch some hurt and some pain and heal you. And it's a process, but I just need to encourage you that he will. Yeah. He will. He really will. Amen. That's the power of his voice, people. It's a gentle whisper at times. And everybody can hear his voice. Every child can hear the voice of his Father. And so I'm encouraging you to find out how God speaks to you. How does God speak to you? Learn to recognize that. It's vital, absolutely vital, if we're going to walk into just more of God. So understanding your sonship, understanding the voice of God. The next thing I feel we need to understand is this. The Bible says the Father, Heavenly Father, gives us gifts. Jesus, the Son, gives us gifts. And the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. Romans chapter 12 are the gifts that the Heavenly Father gives us. It's what I call motivational gifts. It's the way you're wired. The day you were born on this earth, you were wired a certain way. You understand what I'm saying? You were wired that way. It motivates you. So let me use an example. If you walk through that door this morning, and as you walked in, all the sound equipment was falling over. And there was a child in that corner crying. And Lynn was struggling to get all the tea going because she was busy with that. And she was a little bit behind and she was all flustered because of the pressure. Or there was a lady in that corner that had maybe fallen and hurt herself. As you walked in that door, you instantly would go to one of those because the way you wired. No, one's wrong, one's right. So somebody will walk in and say, what's wrong with the sound equipment, and not even see the kid crying and the woman falling over there. Why haven't we got the sound equipment ready? You with me? That's what they would say. Yeah, don't worry about the kid crying in the corner or the woman that's hurt herself over there. But that's what they would see. It's not because they're ignoring them. It's because they're wired that way. That's your motivational gift. When you get born again, God takes that gift and what I call He sanctifies it for His purposes before we use it for our own purposes. Find out how you're wired. Amen. Because you'll do that easily. Won't require hard work from you, although it's a lot of work. But it comes very easy. It's not a problem. As Michelle said, I'm wired service. I love serving. So it's not difficult for me. She's not wired that way, but she's had to learn it. It doesn't mean she has to learn it. I agree. It's quite right because we're called to serve. You with me? But it's just the way we're wired. So she'll see things that I see things that need to be done to help, to facilitate. She doesn't see it. She'll just go play with the kids and woo, 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 woo. Don't worry about everything else is not getting done. Okay? Because she's wired that way. And you got to understand one another that way because you give grace to one another. Okay, that's the first set of gifts. The second set of gifts is the gifts that Jesus gives the church. He said, some are called to be apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists, and some pastors. Not everybody, but some. But those people are given to the church to help the church grow into maturity, to equip the church to do works of service, and to stand alongside the church to encourage it and get underneath it. So if you had an evangelist come in, and it's true evangelist, when he leaves, the fruit of it, you'll all want to go get people saved. Even though he doesn't talk on evangelism, that's what you'll want to happen. Because that's what he would have imparted to you. Because you impart what's inside you. You with me? That man, I believe, is gifted as a teacher, this man. Teacher, maybe pastor. I haven't been in his church long enough to say, but definitely I've sat in his teaching. And when I sit in his teaching, I say, Ma, why can't I teach like this? Ma. You with me? And so you need to recognize those people. Not everybody has that, but the church needs those people to come into the life of the church to help build it up. Okay. Then the Holy Spirit gives gifts. 1 Corinthians 12. Those are gifts of the Spirit. They're called manifestations of the Spirit. What are they? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of healing, gift of faith, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, and I've left one out, miracles. Now, everybody can operate in those gifts. Every born-again believer. It's not for some, it's for everybody. But it's as the Holy Spirit decides, not as I decide. But the more He uses you in one of the gifts, the more you become a little more comfortable with it and you recognize how the gift works in you and through you. Very key to understand, because Jesus operated in the gifts of the Spirit permanently. So He's walking along the road, and remember Zacchaeus is in the tree? He didn't know that man. He had never met that man in his life. He knew his name, and he knew what he had to do. So the Heavenly Father, by the Holy Spirit, says, his name's Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus! You see, he didn't know that because he's Jesus. He knew that by word of knowledge. That's key to understand. I must stay at your house today. And what was the result of that? He got saved and his household got saved. He gave away back the money that he had cheated from people. Amen. God will do it. I promise you He will. But we've got to understand some of that, how we're wired. So it's no good me putting my wife, she needs to learn to serve, and I'm not downgrading her because she said it, but it's no good me just putting into things to serve, serve, serve. That's not the way she's wired. It'll frustrate her to the nth degree. But put her with people. Hallelujah. I can be with people for a while, and then I need time out. Hello? She gets energized by people. Me, for a while. I think Malcolm's a little bit like that as well. I don't know, I'm just having a guess at that. Okay. It's not wrong or right, it's just the way you are, that's all. Amen. Very key to understand that, all right? So understand your position, you're a child of God. Learn to hear His voice. Understand how you're gifted. Gifted naturally and gifted spiritually. Learn to recognize that. Learn to see how it's okay. And the other thing is the anointing. What is the time? I don't know how much longer. There's one or two other things. Oh, we still got plenty of time. Praise the living Lord. Okay. Okay, the anointing. Well, let me come back to that because I want to end on that. All right. The other thing, and then before we get to the anointing, is understanding that everything we do operates by faith. What is faith? Faith is very simply, how does faith come? Hearing the voice of God, or hearing the word of Christ, the Bible says, Romans 10:17. That's how faith comes. So faith comes by hearing, hearing the word. That word's the rhema word. So what that does is it allows me to live from a realm that is beyond the natural realm. It allows me to live from another realm, where the other realm, the unseen realm, begins to have greater influence in my life than the natural realm. Hello? I can't deny the natural realm, but my decisions are not made by what my eyes see. My decisions are made by what I hear from my Father. Despite what my eyes see. Despite what my ears hear. Despite my circumstances. And when we learn to live from that unseen realm in a greater and greater degree, we begin to walk in a greater degree of faith and position ourselves for that realm that is unseen to impact the seen realm. That realm is more real than this realm. And we become kind of aware of that realm. Do you understand what I'm saying is? All that realm is God, who we cannot see with our eye, and the Word of God. And the certainty of the Word of God. When this, black and white and red in the New Testament, and I've got a big Bible so I can see it because of my eyes, okay? When this becomes more of a reality to me, than my circumstances. Then I'm positioning myself more and more and more. Let me use an example, if I can, out of our own life, and it's just out of our own life. I got saved in 1986. Resigned what I was doing. It was in May 86, and in February of 87, we were in full-time youth ministry. And we went from earning that much money to earning that much money just because we were trying to follow God. But God always provided for us. 1 year later, God said to Michelle and I will send you to the nations. I didn't even know nations is in the Bible, I promise you. I didn't even know the word nations is in the Bible. But I just knew it was God. About 6 months later went by and about 4 years later, we joined NCMI. We became part of NCMI, and there was an outreach to Taiwan. And I felt God say, I need you to go to that outreach. But we had nothing, literally nothing. So I told Michelle, I just feel, but we had no money. I just connected with a man that was unsaved, but by the grace of God, God used me to bring him to salvation. And he was asking me a lot of questions. And just before he saved, this happened. But I could see God was working in his life, and I'm going to tell you how to recognize when God's working in somebody's life. So he said, can I have coffee with you? I need to ask you some questions. I said, sure, by all means. So I met him at a coffee shop down in Durban. And we were chatting, he was asking questions, and he had a jacket on, and he opened his jacket, and he pulled out a brown envelope, and he gave it to me, and said, this is for you. So I said, thank you. He said, when you get home, open it. So I said, okay. And when I got home, and I opened it, it was 10,000 rand. That was the money for my trip. Were you with me? This wasn't even a saved man yet, but God was on the process of bringing him to salvation. That's all. But obviously God moved on his heart to give me the money. I didn't let him know, ask him. It wasn't faith, you know, what did I say? Faith without hints is dead or whatever the case is. Well, I can't remember the saying, you know. And then a year or two went by and we felt God go to say that India trip in 95. Remember that India trip? Did you go on that India trip? Okay. We'd just moved to Joburg to take over a small church. And I wasn't too sure if we should go, but I just felt, yeah, we need to go. It's just a stretching experience for me. And Michelle and I felt we needed to go. And we were renting a particular house. And on the property of the house, there was a little cottage. And every morning, I used to hear this young man. He was unmarried. He used to park his car in a downhill like this. And then every morning, I'd hear the car. He'd get out and push it. And he'd go, ha. And then it would go. Every morning. Every morning. And then when he'd come home from work, he'd park his car in a... So one night we invited him for dinner, and Michelle and I just chatted, and we got chatting. He was a wonderful Christian, and he started to ask us about things, and he said, somehow, I don't know how the conversation came in. We just said, well, we're trusting God to go to India. And he said, oh, okay, whatever the case is. Next morning, there was a knock on my door, 6:30 in the morning. Knock, 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 knock. I opened the door. It's this man, this guy. He said, this is for you and Michelle. It was all his savings that he had put to buy a new car. I was humbled. Extremely humbled. And he said, this is for you and your wife to go to India. Been saving for years to buy a new car. So every morning for the next couple of months, when I heard the car going, ha, 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 it reminded me of the goodness of God. And how God had used this man. So we were trying to help, not let the circumstances we lived in dictate our life, but rather what God was saying dictate our life. And so even in that, we decided to put certain boundaries in our life, like what we would watch and what we would listen to. Not because it was legalism, but because we felt, God, this is not going to please you. So we made a decision. We wouldn't watch certain stuff or whatever. And sometimes when my kids were not in, they would come home watching a movie and say to us, you and mom shouldn't go see that movie. But they're watching it, but we can't go see it. If you understand what I'm saying. It was just the boundaries we learned to put in our life. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. You learn to live by faith then. It's key. Amen. Live by the word of God. I'm just encouraging you. All right, before we talk about anointing, okay, let's talk about the anointing. The anointing is a very misunderstood subject. The Bible says Jesus was anointed from high. Luke chapter 4, he opened the prophet Isaiah, he read from it, and he says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And there's a reason for the anointing. He anointed me to set captives free, to proclaim the good news, to set prisoners free, to heal the sick, etc. He says, that's why the Father is anointing me to do that. Okay, the anointing is not a change in my voice. It's not how I say Jesus, if you understand what I'm saying. It's not his name long, or how do I put it? It's not Jesus, it's just Jesus, if you understand what I'm saying. The anointing is not... even the clothes I wear, or any, the anointing is God's supernaturalness on the natural. It literally means to take oil and smear it on yourself like suntan lotion, and you just be yourself, and then the super flows out of the natural. That's all it is. It's the super smeared on the natural, but it has an impact. The anointing is for a purpose. It's for a reason. It's an equipping to get things done. And we're all anointed differently. We can grow in the anointing. But you've got to understand how the anointing works in you. So if I got behind that piano and I started to sing, we would just have lunch straight away. Because I'm not anointed to do that. We are definitely not anointed to do that. In any form or any shape. So I'm not even going to try. You're with me? So you find how God's anointed you. But it's not only to do with church life. It's to do with life out there.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's very key.
That's right.
It's to do with life out there. You learn it in the church. And you learn to recognize it. But God wants you to carry it out there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And so you've got to learn how you are anointed and how the anointing works in and through you. It's very vital to understand that. Amen.
Yeah.
But we can leak from the anointing through pressures of life, through heartache, through just what comes. And so we need to be continually refilled. That's all it means. That's why in Luke chapter, in Acts chapter 2, they were baptized with the Spirit. And in Acts chapter 4, the same people were, in a sense, baptized again. But with greater boldness. And so there's seasons that God has you in your life, and then you'll need a fresh anointing for the new season. Because that anointing will only take you so far. Then you need a fresh anointing for what's coming. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's very key, these things, to understand these things. We want to end by praying for people that say, God, I just need a fresh touch from you. I just need a fresh touch from you. I just need a fresh anointing for the season that's coming. Amen.
Yeah.
There might be a manifestation, but don't go after the manifestation. It's got nothing to do with the manifestation. But sometimes there is. It's the enabling to do what God's called you to do. That's all it is, because you can't do it in the natural. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. So very simply on the anointing. It's just such a misunderstood subject, and people have been very hurt by it, unfortunately. All right, let me see. The anointing is not mystical, it's not hype. Let me use a very more simple example. Don't touch anything at the back there, please. Okay, I'm busy talking here now, and I'm not going to change my voice, but if I can get this thing out of my pocket, it would help. All right, so I'm just going to carry on talking. Switching the microphone on now. I haven't changed anything. I haven't changed who I am. I haven't changed my personality, but there's a greater impact now.
Yeah.
That's what the anointing does.
Very good.
That's all what the anointing does. Don't change who you are. Don't change your personality. God uses you as you are. Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful. All right. Okay. I think very briefly, we'll end with this. Remain full of the Holy Spirit. Find the leading of the Holy Spirit. To remain full of the Holy Spirit, walk in forgiveness as a lifestyle. Walk in forgiveness between you and your Father and between fellow man. Walk in forgiveness. Walk in humility. Keep short accounts. Very short accounts. If Michelle and I disagree on things, we'll sort it out as soon as we can. Okay, we're not going to go through life. Marriage is not without its conflict. There are conflicts, but we work it through and sort it out, okay? Abide in the Word as best as you can. Abide in the Word. Persist in prayer. Don't give up in prayer. Embrace and cultivate fellowship with Jesus. And be aggressive towards the enemy. Be aggressive towards the enemy. Don't flirt with what the enemy sends away. I call walk against the rock face. Don't walk on the edge. Don't walk on the edge. Amen. And then to find the leading of the Holy Spirit, find the life of God and follow the life of God. Find the voice of God and be obedient to that, because the voice of God gives you the way of God. Bible says Israel knew the deeds of God, but Moses knew the way of God. And we want to find the way of God. I have 3 kids and I had to discipline them differently. My daughter, I could just look at her and she would dissolve. I looked at my son, he looked back at me. didn't help. What are you looking at, Dad? You're out of line. Oh, okay. What we found with him, we had to curb him from seeing his friends. Oof, that worked wonderfully well. So I had to find how to discipline them. And it's the same with God. God's not going to move the way he used to move. I had the privilege of walking around this great city, and a guy like John Knox that I saw moving on, greatly used of God. A lot of respect. God is still wanting to work, but not maybe the way he did it through John Knox. That's what I'm trying to say. But we need to honor what God did through John Knox. We need to honor what God did through this covenanters that I didn't even know about, that I read about, and that's that memorial that's in your city center there. Honor people like that. It's the blood of the martyrs. It opens the way for the future for us. And God sees that, and the seeds for the future, the seeds of what God wants to do in the future. But we've got to find the way that God did things. Jesus never did the same thing. Some he touched, some he spoke, some he put hands on, some he spat on. Now, we're not going to spit on anybody, but it's just the way he did things. And that's what the voice of it helps you find the way that God does things. Amen. I think we'll end after that a lot.